In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hear, reading through the Gospels, reading through the Psalms, reading through any number of the Old Testament books, about the Word of the Lord. We hear about the Holy Spirit on the surface of the waters. We hear about the wind and the breath of the Lord. And yet we hear so much again about His Word all through Holy Scripture. And today we come upon a passage that was striking to me in several instances, but mainly because we don't really think about the Word of the Lord as presented by the Lord Himself. Now, what do I mean by that? We read the Gospels and we hear in many different instances about the Lord preaching and the things that He says and how astounding so much of that teaching is to us, how profound and yet so simple and obvious in so many ways. But yet, what about how it was said? We really don't think much about that. We do hear that many people in the gospel say that, you know, never had anyone spoken like this before, or never had anyone heard such words as these before. But it had to be more than the contextual when we hear about the parables, or when we hear Him talking against the Pharisees and this sort of thing. We don't really think about tone. And yet, today I think it's very obvious that one of the things that was so appealing to everyone around the Lord was not just what He was saying, but how He was saying it. Because His words had to be, they had to be so alluring. They had to be so ingratiating. They had to be so comforting, so attractive, because many people could say what He did. Many people do say what He did. We read the gospel every week. And of course, the words do have a powerful impact, but probably not the way that He Himself said them. Coming from God Himself, the sweetness, the, like it says in the Psalms, His words were as honey. They were as balm to the ear. They were something almost seductive in their delight. And that's how He was able to gather so many people around Him. We know that there were two ships that were there. And the crowd was so great that the boat, Simon Peter's, pushed out just a little way from land. And the Lord taught all of these people that were gathered around Him. And they couldn't get enough. The crowd kept gathering and gathering, and they wanted to hear more and more. The grace that was imparted through the very sound of these words, through the very tone of voice that was coming from our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the main saints that we celebrate today, Saint Thecla, the great martyr, she's called, the proto-martyr, although technically she wasn't actually martyred. But all the things that she suffered were so astonishing that if the Lord had not saved her from them, any one of them would have caused her death. But without going into this long talk about the life of St. Thecla, which would be easy to do, and on the little icon in the narthex, you can see some scenes from her life. Suffice it to say that when she was 18 years of old, she also heard words imparted with incredible grace and allure and even seductiveness. And that was from the holy apostle Paul, whom she just happened to be passing by a room where he was talking to two of his disciples. And Thecla was just transfixed by what she was hearing. She stood at the window for 3 days. 3 days, and no one could get her to leave. Not even her betrothed, who came and essentially said, "Now, you know, don't you think, honey, this has been long enough? It's, You know, you've been here for 3 days, and then he happened to hear some of the stuff that Paul was saying, like preserving your virginity and things like this. And Thecla realized what her calling was. And so all of a sudden, these sweet words of her fiancé became very strict and nasty, and you get over here right now. Enough of this. And her mother was angry with her, completely angry because she was just ignoring her. And so Thecla went through a number of trials at the age of 18 where her family turned against her. When these trials were over, however, she went out into the desert and founded the oldest women's monastery in the world. And she was there for 72 years, finally passing away at the age of 90. And that wonderful sweetness of the words of our Lord that she heard from St. Paul, she was now imparting herself to many disciples, such that the cave that she resided in was so powerful, the grace that was coming from her presence, that many people would gather around it, and even on their way, full of sickness and illness, yet coming within proximity of this cave, they were healed. So great was the sweetness of the Holy Spirit that came from Thecla. And so we think now, as we go back to that scene on Lake Gennesaret, where the Lord was teaching, and we think again about the words of honey that were coming from His lips, and yet He tells Peter after he's finished, because he's pushed his boat out a little ways, he says, "Go out further, go out further." And Peter, out of obedience to the Lord, not really knowing much about Him, says, "Lord, we've been out all night, but yet, at Your word, I will go out." And so they go out, and there was no fish and the previous night. And for a fisherman, this had to be really terrible, because it's not like you and I running out to Lake Lanier for an afternoon wanting to catch some fish. This is what he lived off of, not only physically for his own family, but to take and sell, because he had to make a living. And so if you went out into this lake and you came back and there were no fish, that was an economic impact of the severest kind. And it's sometimes hard for us to think of it that way, but it's like if you were a stockbroker these days and you had the whole day went by and everything that you bought went down and everything that you sold ended up going up. And so you weren't making any money at all. And the Lord says to you, "Well, go back, turn on your machine again, and let's try it again." And so everything that you buy goes sky high, and everything that you sell hits the bucket, and you end up making a whole lot of money. That would have been the equivalent sort of analogy to what happened to Peter in the boat. Because the Lord took in so many fish that they had to get the other boat. And both boats were going to sink because there were so many fish. Those fish were the grace of the Lord. Those fish were the results of the honey coming from His mouth. And Peter, of course, realizes instantly that he is in the presence of a great miracle of which he is not worthy. And he says, "Lord, I am a sinful man. You know, it'd be better off for everyone if You would just depart from me." And the Lord says, "You think this is something? Well, look, you come with Me. And we won't do any more fishing here in the lake. I'll make you a fisher of men." And Peter thereby achieved his true calling at that moment, because he was simply open to the words of honey that he had heard from the Lord's mouth. That's why he was willing to go out on the boat, because he had been sitting there like everyone else, listening to these astounding teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ that were so overwhelming that he could do nothing else but say, "Yes, I'll go out with you." We hear these words all the time. And when we read the Gospels, we need to think a little bit more about this, about the tone of how the Lord was speaking at that moment, and how His words had such an impact because they were coming from the very heart of God. And that heart was drawing everyone to himself and saying, here they are, listen. You've heard many of these words before, but never has anyone spoken such as this man. And Peter and all the disciples here at the beginning of the ministry received their first calling. Peter and Andrew and James and John. James and John had actually run into the Lord before, but they had not really been called into discipleship like they were at this very moment. Today in this gospel, we do what we call the Lucan jump. We have ended with Matthew, and all of a sudden, because the beheading of St. John the Baptist is past us, the church goes immediately to the book of Luke. It will be with the book of Luke all the way up until the preceding Sundays before Great Lent. And it's the book of Luke in this particular Sunday that gives us an in-depth look at what happened to Peter and the disciples and all the fishing. Matthew and Mark sort of mention it as if to mark the event. But Luke goes into great detail. And of course, it will be the evangelist Luke who goes on and presents us with the nativity story as we get into the month of December. So at this point, we're hearing the beginning of the ministry, just as we've recently heard of the birth of the Mother of God, just as we have recently celebrated the beginning of the church year. Everything comes anew to us now. Everything begins with the Lord's words, which come to us as balm to the ear. If only we would listen to them that way. If only we would hear as we are reading and understand as we are hearing, we would be able to understand the depth and power that are present in every single syllable that he ever uttered. Now is the time for us to begin reading the Gospels afresh, to begin seeing what the Lord is actually saying to us, to understand not only what the Sunday Gospel readings are, what the daily Gospel readings are, but even in our own lives, what is this reading saying to me today? Because that's how communicative the Word of God is, as it has been from the beginning when he first uttered those words about let us make man in our image. And when he first created the world, the words of the Lord were everywhere, and now they are personified in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and given to us one-on-one as if he's speaking directly to each of us. Let us consider all of these things. Let us take this grace into our hearts as Peter took that grace of all the fishes into his boats, and let us continue on step by step in growth in the love of the Lord. Amen.